Hello and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. I'm Janelle Eckerman and today I'll be reading selections from the Pantograph for Tuesday, December 31, 2024. I'll now continue with reading the front page and the main article is about Jimmy Carter. And the title is Jimmy Carter 1924 to 2024, Faithful Service Carter's Legacy. Local state leaders honor 39th president, and the article was written by Connor Wood, Drew Zimmerman, and Valerie Wells. For many Americans, the legacy of the nation's 39th president may be best defined by the humanitarian work and personal likability for which Jimmy Carter became widely known after his presidency. That became clear in comments from leaders in central Illinois and beyond, both after his death on Sunday and in interviews conducted after he entered hospice care in February 2023. Carter, a Democratic former governor and peanut farmer from Georgia, celebrated his 100th birthday in October, and this article is then continued onto page A2. President Jimmy Carter truly exemplified what it meant to live a life full of service, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker said in a statement expressing condolences to Carter's family and loved ones. His towering legacy of compassion for others set a standard that will always be remembered. Both of Illinois Senators, Democrats Tammy Duckworth and Dick Durbin, echoed similar sentiments, lauding Carter's contributions to the lives of millions he would never meet. Jimmy Carter proved that excellence in public service can extend beyond the White House, Durbin said. His life was an inspiration to those of us who aspire to lead a life of service. From his humble beginnings as a peanut farmer to a Navy veteran, then governor, President of the United States, and Nobel Peace Prize winner, President Carter lived a long life of service to our nation, Duckworth said. A legacy we will never forget. Adam Kinzinger, a former Republican congressman whose political career started in McLean County, wrote in a Substack post that his heart was heavy with sorrow and profound gratitude at the news of Carter's passing. The country is better because of Jimmy Carter, not just because of his policies or achievements, but because of the example he set, wrote Kinzinger, who left Congress in 2023 after becoming an outspoken opponent of former President Donald Trump, who takes office again next month. He showed us what leadership grounded in humility and grace looks like, Kinzinger said of Carter. He reminded us that faith can be a force for good, that it should inspire us to build bridges and extend a helping hand. Work with Habitat for Humanity. Kinzinger and others also referred to Carter's decades of work with Habitat for Humanity, a global non-profit organization that partners with families in need to build housing that they can afford. Carter first became involved with the organization in 1984, when he and wife Rosalind worked with their local Habitat organization in Americus, Georgia, according to information from the National Habitat Organization. The couple traveled across the globe working on habitat projects, working alongside more than 100,000 volunteers on 4,390 homes in 14 countries. We may be able to count the number of Carter work projects and the number of families served by those builds, but we cannot truly quantify the immense impact the Carters have had on Habitat homeowners, staff, volunteers, and donors. We will continue to honour President Carter's legacy through our service to our community, said Tyler Wiggs, Habitat McLean County's office manager, in a press release last year. Carter's legacy will live on in part through the work done by Habitat organisations across the country, said Jolene Aldous, now Executive Director for Habitat for Humanity of McLean County. There's no doubt that President Carter was well-liked and loved by many Americans, said Aldous, who was the organization's Director of Development at the time of the interview in 2023. Carter's influence also helps local habitat organisations gain a foothold in smaller communities, she said. Popularity increased post-presidency. Carter is often known as a more popular former president than he was a president, two Illinois State University political science professors said in an interview conducted last year. He more or less invented the modern sense of the post-presidency, said Professor Lane Crothers. That includes Carter's work in the 1990s with the Carter Center in monitoring elections during a period of new democracies emerging during decolonization. Since the 1990s, a lot of the public focus on Carter has shifted to his personal journey as the longest-lived former president, Crothers said. Carter's presidency was difficult for situations outside of his control, Crothers said. Carter inherited a period of high inflation and unemployment, and his presidency saw foreign events like the Iranian Revolution and energy crisis. The Democratic Party was also splitting, with Carter being the last Democrat to sweep the southern states. Any president, even a perfect one, would have found that those situations challenging, Crothers said. Yet Carter was also seen as indecisive and uncomfortable with the wheeling and dealing of politics. Still, Carter left behind some strong legacies from his presidency, said Associate Professor Kerry Melita. She pointed to examples like the beginning of the handover of the Panama Canal and the Camp David Accords. These helped return the US to a role as an international diplomatic broker. He really impacted the international role of the US going forward, Melita said. Carter was also the first president to be elected using public funding under the model created in 1974. His campaign reflected who he was as a person, Melita said, something that carried through his presidency. Carter was one and the same. The president was the man, she said. His campaign as a whole was unlike a lot of others in that Carter did not shy away from making his positions known, Melita said. Ambiguity can be an asset ahead of elections because it makes the candidates' positions harder to attack. Carter went against the grain on that, and a lot of his rhetoric was very clear, she said. While he lost his re-election bid in a landslide to Illinois-born Eureka College graduate Ronald Reagan, Carter's post-presidency has put him in the good graces of many in the state and beyond. I'm not aware of anyone that has anything bad to say about it, Melita said. A fond memory for Macon County singers. A history teacher in the Macon County village of Mount Zion has fond memories of meeting Carter after fulfilling the requirement to attend his Sunday school class. Jan Williams, who had been the fourth grade teacher of the former president's daughter, Amy, accompanied the Carters to the White House to serve as Amy's tutor after the president was elected in 1976. She remained close to the family and in charge of the Plains Inn, where tourists who wanted to visit Carter's hometown of Plains, Georgia, usually stayed. She arranges for tourists to come in, and if you want a chance to meet and get a picture with them, you have to follow her rules and you have to come to Sunday school at Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains. That was his stipulation, said Rich Hansen, who teaches history and choir at Mount Zion High School. Hansen sings with a barbershop quartet and leads barbershop groups at the high school. Another teacher, now retired, told him that if he wanted to meet a former president, visiting Plains was the easiest way to accomplish it. A year or two later, I was in that general vicinity, Hansen said in an interview last year. You don't have to make a reservation. You just wait in line. There's a lot of people that do this. After I got the chance to meet him for the first time, I arranged a return visit with the Gospel Quartet. I called Jan and said, would you like music for your service sometime? Plains holds an annual peanut festival, since the town is largely supported by peanut farming, and Hansen thought it would be worth scheduling a visit for the girls' quartet and the mixed ensemble from Mount Zion High School. We did a little fundraising and sang for some groups and raised some money, and went down there in September 2013, Hansen said. It was an awesome experience. The kids sang and walked up and down the street. Plains has 500 people normally, but during the festival they have thousands in. President Carter would do book signings, and there was a train to his boyhood home, and the girls sang for that. That Sunday morning we got a chance to sing during the service. Logan Schmidt, who went on to become a music teacher at Jefferson Elementary School in Charleston, was part of that group in his senior year at Mount Zion High School. After the service, we were able to meet them up close, and I got to sing for them as lead soloist on Georgia on My Mind, which was quite special, Schmidt said. The former president was kind and soft-spoken, Schmidt said. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter was the more animated and talkative of the two. Mrs. Carter died November 19, 2023, at the age of 96. Hanson doesn't make a habit of talking about the event to his students, he said, but when the matter of Carter entering hospice care came in February 2023 came up, he did tell his choir students about meeting him and how everyone made the visitors feel at home. They make everyone feel like family down there, he said. And with this article, there are several photos, and the first is captioned, President Carter, and that was from Nancy Kay from the Associated Press. And the next photo is of former President Jimmy Carter, works at a Habitat for Humanity building site, Monday, November 2, 2015 in Memphis, Tennessee. Carter and his wife Rosalynn have volunteered a week of their time annually to Habitat for Humanity since 1984, events dubbed Carter Work Projects that draw thousands of volunteers and take months of planning. And the next photo is captioned, Former President Jimmy Carter talks to the media as they pause from building a Habitat for Humanity house in Violet, Louisiana, Monday, May 21, 2007. They were working on the 1,000th Habitat for Humanity house in the Gulf Coast region since Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. And that photo was from Alex Brandon from the Associated Press. And the next photo in this article is captioned, Former President Jimmy Carter speaks during the reopening ceremony for the newly resigned Carter Presidential Library Thursday, October 1, 2009, in Atlanta. Carter was also celebrating his 85th birthday, and that photo is courtesy of John Bazemore from the Associated Press. And the next photo is of President Jimmy Carter waves as staff hold up sign proclaiming, We love you, Mr. President, in Washington, November 5, 1980, as the president walks to helicopter for a trip to Camp David. And that was from the Associated Press file photo. And the next photo with this article is of Mount Zion High School teacher Rich Hanson on the left met Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter during a visit to Plains, Georgia. And the last photo with this article is of former US President Jimmy Carter delivers a lecture on the eradication of the guinea worm at the House of Lords in London, Wednesday, February 3, 2016. And the next article from the front page is also about President Carter, and the title of the article is How American Presidents Have Planned Their Own Funerals, and it's written by Chris Megurian from the Associated Press. Washington. Jimmy Carter's memorial journey will end at his house in the tiny town of Plains, Georgia, where he grew up on a peanut farm. That is where his wife Rosalynn was laid to rest last year in a burial plot that they chose years ago. But before Carter reaches his humble final destination, there will be an interstate choreography of grief, ceremony, and logistics that is characteristic of state funerals. Ever since the nation's founding, America has bid farewell to former presidents with an intricate series of events, weaving together long-standing traditions and personal touches. Funerals often are planned by the presidents themselves, who usually have years after leaving the White House to ponder how they want to be memorialized. They are very much involved in the planning process, and the decisions that they make tell us a lot about who they are, how they see the presidency, and how they want to be remembered by the American people, said Matthew Costello, senior historian for the White House Historical Association, who co-wrote a book called Mourning the Presidents, loss and legacy in American culture. Carter had more time to plan than most. He lived for 43 years after his presidency ended, the longest post-presidency in U.S. history, before dying Sunday at 100. Many details of his funeral remain under wraps at the discretion of the family and military units that are responsible for carrying out the plans. Most presidents lie in state in the U.S. Capitol, and there is usually a service at Washington National Cathedral. President Joe Biden let slip last year that Carter had asked him to give a eulogy. Biden said Sunday his team is working with Carter's family and others to see to it that he is remembered appropriately here in the United States and around the world. Carter's son Chip is his main point of contact, though Biden said he spoke with all the Carter children. He described a process underway that will take a little time, but will result in a major service in Washington, D.C. for Carter, which Biden scheduled for January 9. Sometimes former presidents help with even the smallest details. Jeffrey Engel, director of the Center for Presidential History at Southern Methodist University in Dallas, recalled meeting with George H.W. Bush shortly after the former president revised the seating chart for his funeral. And I said, "Is that weird? You know it's your own death," Engel recalled. And he said, "You know, you do it every 3 months. You kind of get used to it." President Dwight Eisenhower, who commanded Allied troops during World War II before becoming a politician, wanted to be buried in an $80 government-issued casket. Apart from a glass seal that was added to the design, it was indistinguishable from the casket of any other soldier. Details of the processions also can reflect aspects of a president's life. Ronald Reagan's casket was carried up the west steps of the U.S. Capitol, which faces his home state of California. When Gerald Ford died, his casket was brought through the House side of the building, a nod to his years as a lawmaker. The job of carrying out presidential funerals falls to the Joint Task Force National Capital Region, which includes 4,000 military and civilian personnel. The unit said in a statement that it is privileged to provide this support on behalf of the nation. Presidential funerals can leave lasting marks on the American consciousness. One of the most memorable descriptions of George Washington, first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen, came from a eulogy that was widely reprinted when the country's first leader died. After John F. Kennedy was assassinated, his son, John Jr., was photographed saluting the casket. Kennedy's casket was transported down Pennsylvania Avenue on the same caisson that carried Abraham Lincoln after he was assassinated a century earlier, and a riderless horse was included in the procession. Kennedy's was the first presidential funeral to be widely televised. Technology has made mourning in a way more accessible, more democratic. More people have the opportunity to take a moment and reflect upon what this person meant, Costello said, and I think it is also opens the door to more people being involved in the grieving process. Engel described funerals as a moment to remember that we're all in this together, and this man was the president for all of us, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. However, in today's divided politics, state funerals can produce awkward, even tense moments. During George H.W. Bush's funeral in 2018, the audience included President Donald Trump. He shook hands with former President Barack Obama, his predecessor, but did not interact with Hillary Clinton, who he defeated in the 2016 election, or her husband, former President Bill Clinton. "These funerals are always political," Engel said. "Whatever happens in the Carter funeral is going to be political, whether people around the Carter family want it to be or not." I'll now move on to page A2 and today's flicked fact. Question: heading out to celebrate New Year's Eve with some bubbly? Remember these three tips. Number one, drink plenty of water. Number two, keep an Uber number handy. And three, store your cell phone in a zipped pocket or leave it at home, and answer. All three are great ideas, according to Azuron, a leading smartphone insurer. New Year's Eve sees a surge in phone damage reports. The most common mishaps include cracked screens, dents, water damage, and phones dropped into toilets. And briefly, 100 years ago today, on December 31, 1924, when the program for hard roads in McLean County is finally mapped out and it is known just where the new highways are to be constructed, it will be timely to discuss the construction of laterals to these trunk lines so that every township will be connected with one of the nearest. The plan is in harmony with an idea that Governor Small is expected to bring out in his message to the legislature, together with a recommendation for financing the construction of connecting roads. And 75 years ago today, on December 31, 1949, although the average cost for building houses in Normal during 1949 was lower than the prior year, less than half as many were built this year, according to a survey of permits issued. A total of 34 house permits were requested in 1949 at an average cost of $8,130, compared with 84 issued in 1948, averaging $9,125. And 50 years ago, December 31, 1974, Central Illinois residents seeking to acquire the Midas Touch are being warned by area bankers to carefully weigh possible investments in gold bullion. The 41-year U.S. ban on gold ownership will be lifted today. A Pantograph survey of area banks shows that only one bank in Champaign will offer direct sales of gold, while most plan to arrange purchases through correspondent banks in Chicago. And 25 years ago, on December 31, 1999, 10 years ago, the town of Normal set a goal to be debt-free by the year 2000. On Thursday, December 30, it became a reality as Mayor Kent Carriker signed a ceremonial check for the final $1,739,950 bond payment in a celebration at the Holiday Inn in Normal. The actual electronic payment cleared the bank earlier in the day. "After I sign this one, we own everything," Carriker said. And as always, our commitment to accuracy at the Pantograph. We want you to tell us about issues regarding accuracy and fairness. Contact 309-820-3242 or ojacobs@pantograph.com. See past corrections at pantograph.com/corrections. I'll now revisit the front page, and the next article is New Year, New Laws. Nearly 300 new Illinois laws take effect in 2025. And it was written by Ben Zielinski, Springfield. "Time to study up, Illinois. When the clock hits midnight on New Year's Day, 293 new state laws will take effect. Those include some of the defining bills of the 2024 legislative session and others that will change how people get IDs, evaluate job postings, and even cancel gym memberships. In addition to the laws taking effect on January 1, the state's minimum wage will rise to $15 to complete a ramp-up initiated during Governor J.B. Pritzker's first month in office in 2019, digital driver's licenses. The Secretary of State can begin creating a process to issue digital driver's licenses and state IDs beginning in the new year after Pritzker signed House Bill 4592. Residents will still be required to receive a physical ID, and agencies or private entities will not be required to accept digital IDs in place of physical IDs. Providing a phone to police to show a digital ID also doesn't give police consent to search a person's cell phone. Salary transparency. Employers with 15 or more employees must include information about benefits and the salary range on job postings, according to House Bill 3129. The law will also apply to businesses hiring for remote work positions in Illinois. When employers aren't transparent about pay, gender and racial wage gaps widen, costing women and people of colour valuable compensation, Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton said in a news release. Illinois' new pay transparency law is a resounding win for the working people who call our state home. And this article is continued onto page A5. Junk health insurance. Short-term limited duration health insurance plans will be illegal in Illinois beginning January 1. The plans, often called junk insurance by critics, do not meet the minimum standards of the Federal Affordable Care Act. The ban outlined in House Bill 2499 was part of Pritzker's health insurance overhaul that lawmakers passed in the spring. It was aimed at reducing barriers to care for patients and making healthcare more affordable by expanding coverage requirements for insurance companies. Short-term insurance plans are typically for people who have a lapse in health insurance coverage, such as when they lose or change jobs, but they are different from COBRA benefits, which most employers are required to offer under federal law. Supporters of the bill argued the plans are deceptive and stick consumers with huge out-of-pocket costs, but others said the plans provide consumers with an affordable option to fill a gap in coverage. Caregiver discrimination. House Bill 2161 adds family responsibilities to the list of categories protected from discrimination and retaliation in the workplace. The new law prevents employers from taking adverse action against employees because of their responsibilities as a caregiver for a family member, which could cause them to miss work. Bill sponsor Rep. Will Guzzardi, D. Chicago, told a House committee in April that pregnant women are a good example of who the bill is designed to help. He said pregnant women shouldn't be passed up for a promotion or face other consequences at work in anticipation that they will be taking time off to care for their baby. Guzzardi stressed the bill does not protect employees who fail to meet job performance requirements. AI regulations. New laws governing artificial intelligence take effect January 1. It will be illegal to generate child pornography using AI, according to House Bill 4623. Supporters of the bill, including the Illinois Attorney General's office, said it is becoming more difficult to distinguish between real and AI-generated images. They said updating Illinois' child pornography laws was a necessary step to allow law enforcement to identify and prosecute child pornography cases. House Bill 4875 also adds new protections to prohibit using AI to recreate a person's voice, image or likeness for commercial purposes without the person's consent. Recording artists can seek damages for violations of the law. Politics and religion at work. Employees can't be required to sit through work meetings discussing religion or politics. Starting January 1, Senate Bill 3649, an initiative of the Illinois AFL-CIO, creates new protections for employees who skip out on such meetings and prevents employers from retaliating against them. The law does not prohibit discussing religion or politics at work, but employees are not required to participate in the discussions if such activities are not part of their job. The law excludes non-profit and advocacy groups where politics or religion may be part of the job. I'll include the remainder of this article in the second half of today's program. I'll now take a short break and return with the second half of today's reading of selections from the Pantograph for Tuesday, December 31, 2024, read by Janelle Eckerman. Please stay tuned.